Okay, good morning, Shabbos, Shabbos, everybody. Before we focus on the main theme of this year, which is the continuation of the link of the Avos with Yaakov Avinu, I want to just share a very interesting vort on the Ramban, just in terms of understanding how to read a Ramban. It's not on your Marmakomos sheets, but I hope you all have a Ramban with you. Please always bring a Ramban with you to share. One of the drawbacks of the Chevelle edition of the Ramban, although it's very valuable and did a tremendous job, what it doesn't always indicate is when there are things that the Ramban added to his original version of his Perush. He added many things when he was in Eretz Yisrael. He finished it in Eretz Yisrael, and he sent a manuscript from Akko, where he lived, and he meant for it to be inserted at different points throughout his Perush. And they found their way, ultimately, in terms of the total package. And you read the Ramban, and it's all in there. So the Chevelle edition doesn't indicate which parts are part of those Hosafos. Some of the other editions have come out, example, the Yayin Hatov, Beis HaYayin Perush, which is very good. He does indicate it. It's based on having worked with manuscripts. Kamat Kahana wrote an article where he indicated all of those places. There's an article by Rav Sabato that came out a number of years ago in Megadim that went through all of the editions of the Ramban that he added. But one particular one is in our parsha. Actually, there are two in our parsha. One has to do with the location of Kever Rachel, where the Ramban originally had an understanding of it being in Ramah, where she was buried. And that's what it's written in Parshas Vayechi as well. That was originally his understanding. Then he writes in Parshas Vayishlach, in the context here of where it's described that she died, Ba'od Kibas Eretz Lavo Efrasa, and that pasuk Kibas Eretz, Ramban says that now that I came, Baruch Hashem, Ezra Sakel, Atoba Ametiv, I came to Eretz Yisrael, and now I see where it is, and if we had a whole new pshat in the pasuk Kol Barama Nishma. That's not what I wanted to share with you. You can find that yourself. Earlier in the parsha, it says in the pasuk that the malachim, that the messengers that Yaakov sent, Kipshuto, they were regular people. Chazal say they were angels. But they came back to Yaakov and they reported, Banu el achicha el Esav, we came to your brother to Esav, v'gam holech l'krascha, v'ava meos ish imam. What exactly does that mean? They said, he's coming toward you with 400 people. What is the intent of the shluchim when they say these words back to Yaakov, v'gam holech l'krascha? Are they saying that Esav has bad intentions? Is that what they mean? The next pasuk is Vayir Yaakov Ma'od Vayetzelo. Yaakov was fearful. So without really looking at too much in the first, we just assume clearly Esav had negative plans and he was intent on killing Yaakov, and that's what the Shuluchim meant, and Yaakov was obviously afraid. But apparently that's not the only way to learn Pshat. So, for example, before you even get to the Ramban, if you look in the Rashbam and the Chizkuni as well, both of them understand the pasuk differently. Banu el achicha el Esav, says the Rashbam, but matzasa chen be'enav kasher amarta. Yeah, he was very pleased to hear from you. It's been a while. V'gam holech l'kraschah, hinehu mitoch she'samach b'viyascha, u'v'habasa oscha holech l'kraschah, v'abba meyas ish imo l'chabetcha, zeu ikur pshuta. So the Rashbam learns that what the Shluchim are saying is that they met Esav. Esav was very happy to hear a word from Yaakov, and Esav is very happy to greet Yaakov and to come, and he's coming with a Kabbalah's panim of 400 people. And he explains that this is what we find with Mashal in Parshas Shmos, Hinehu Yotzi L'Krasecha V'Racha V'Samach B'Libo, referring to to Aaron meeting Moshe. So that's the idea of Holech L'Krascha, he's coming toward you, meaning to greet you, to welcome you. No, what's the pshat in the next pasuk? Vayir Yaakov Ma'od. Says the Rashbam that even though the Shluchim told him that Esav has good intentions, and even though Esav apparently showed his good intentions to the Shluchim, Yaakov didn't believe that Esav was genuine. And therefore, Yaakov was afraid that Machsheves Esav was not in fact the Tova, even though that's what he seemed to suggest. That's what he told the Shluchim, I'm very happy, and Yaakov didn't trust Esav. That is how the Rashbam understands it. How does the Ramban understand it? So the Ramban initially writes as follows. Pasuk Kekel, Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Ches in the Ramban. Vayeshuvu ha-malachim el Yaakov le'mor. So what does that mean? Did the Shluchim end up actually meeting Esav or not? According to the Rashban, they met Esav, and Esav said thank you for the message, and I'm coming to welcome Yaakov as well. The Ramban learns that they met Esav, but it doesn't tell us in the pasuk that they met him. Hashluchim ha'elu asu shlichusam doesn't say that they met. It just says they came back. So the answer is lo siper akasuv ke'en zet zorach. Shitas Ramban many times in Chumash is that the Torah doesn't always give you all the details of a story. The Torah gives you half the story and you understand the other half implicitly. So it doesn't have to tell us that the Shluchim met up with Esav and gave the message, and then they came back. The Torah just gives you that they came back and told Yaakov that they came, meaning that they came and they were received. Okay, so according to this understanding, continues the Ramban here, Pasuk Zayin, V'tam, V'gam holech l'krascha. What is V'gam? What's the V'gam? And also, Lemor, Kasher ato holech l'krasso, Gam hu holech l'krascha. Umaher tifkishu zebazeh. What does this mean? Not like the Rashbam said, that they say Esav received us well, and he's happy to hear from you, and he's coming to receive you warmly as well. That's not what the Rabban is saying. On the other hand, the Rabban is not yet saying that Esav is coming with a negative agenda. Rather, they are simply reporting in a parav neutral way. In other words, we have come to Esav, we did our mission, and we're simply letting you know a fact. The fact is that just as you're going in the direction where he is heading exactly toward you, and you're going to meet up very soon. Maher tifkashu zebazeh. That means they're not saying that they understand Esav has negative intentions. They're simply reporting that there's going to be an encounter very soon. If anything, the encounter could be a very positive one. The point of the message originally was that va'eshkecha lahagid la'adoni lim tzochein ve'inecha. So the Rabban understands in the previous pasuk what it means is to tell Adoni that I have a lot of wealth and I want to do everything I could to help you, to give you a little bit of a token gift, which is a remes to the Doron, or that Esav could help himself to whatever he wants from what Yaakov has. So the point of the Shluchim saying that you're going to meet very soon is that you're going to be able to give him in person the gift that you want to give him. So in other words, it's very much of a neutral report, which is simply a fact. The Gam, meaning you're going to him, the Gam, he's coming back. Continues the Ramban now, V'hanira be'enai. Now this is what the Ramban added from Eretz Yisrael. He suggests another pshat. This was not originally in the Perush of the Ramban. He thought again and figured maybe we'll learn it this way and understand the implications of this. V'hanira be'enai b'inyan hazeh. Ki Esav lo kibel hashulchim kahogen. V'lo ishkiach aleihem. V'ulai lo hayu lefanav. Ki lo nasen ha'mishus v'yivo lefanav v'idabo imo klav. Send regards. What the Ramban is bothered by, why doesn't the Torah mention that they said back to Yaakov that he received us? It's true that the Torah doesn't always have to tell me all the details of the story when it happened, as long as you get it from the other direction. When they come back, they could say more or less what happened, and you understand that's what happened. But you're reading too much here. It doesn't say anywhere that they even said to Yaakov that he received us. Says the Ramban, he never received them. Basically, Esav never gave them the time of day. He didn't acknowledge them. They never got to greet him in person. He never allowed them to come to see him personally. Because otherwise, the pasuk would have said, in some way or form, that he responded to their message. Never says, not in the original story, not later, that he actually ever met them. So now, they never reported that Esav said anything. The answer is, Esav had a lot of pent-up rage. It continued just as it was way back 34 years ago. He continued to feel rage. Avo evraso shmura belibo. the lasas lo toa is the gears is supposed to be. Hayimahalach b'chayil hazeh. It's a pasuk in Nehemiah. Basically, he was going with bad intentions. So now, if they never met Esav, so what did they do? The shluchim continues the Ramban. Hini ashluchim chakru b'machane. So they couldn't actually meet Esav. So they began to do their own detective work to find out what's Esav doing, where's he heading. The yadu kihu hoichu kras Yaakov. And now the Ramban continues, v'zet ham v'gam. You see what the Ramban is saying here in this added pshat is a new way to read the pasuk. What is the v'gam? Banu elchicha l'esav, v'gam hoichu krascha. Ki amru, banu elchicha l'esav, meaning, and he did not acknowledge us, he did not receive us. V'lo ana usanu davar, v'lo shalachicha divi shalom. He did not show any indication of being pleased with us, he did not give us any recognition, any acknowledgement. But more than that, worse, v'gam holich l'krascha be'edrav achayil, he's coming with a great army and a strength. V'kach nosav lo pachad al pachdo v'yir Yaakov v'yitzel. So you have here, the Ramban is suggesting two pshatim. The first pshat is more of a parav report. They met Esav. They come back, they did their mission, they come back and they say, you're going this way, he's coming the other way, you're going to meet up soon. That's all they said. The Rashbam learned that they said, Esav greeted us warmly, and he's coming to receive you warmly, in person. The Ramban doesn't say that. The Ramban said initially, v'gam means that just as you're going this direction toward him, so too he's coming that direction toward you. You're going to meet up very soon. Why Yaakov was afraid, says the Ramban according to that pshat, because he says, why is he coming with so many people? There's no clear indication that he's coming for war, but Yaakov suspected that. According to the Rashbam, Yaakov didn't just suspect, he was so suspicious that he did not trust Esav's intentions that seemed to be that he was warm and he was loving and embracing. According to the Ramban, it's not as much of a chidush that Yaakov didn't trust Esav. He didn't trust him because he didn't know that Esav necessarily had a good intention. Esav hadn't really stated one way or the other. According to this other pshat of the Ramban, the shluchim already recognized Esav's hostility because he did not acknowledge, he did not receive them. And then they did their own homework and they found out that he's coming with an army, and that's the v'gam. Look at that. Not only did he not receive us, he's also coming, apparently, at war. The Shluchim already gave Yaakov the reason and the basis for the fear, which is why Vayu Yaakov Ba'od. You understand, these are the two layers in the Ramban. And it turns out later on, a parak later, Lamed Gimel Pasuk Ches, there's also a couple of words added, and that's to accommodate the second shot. When he added the second shot in Eretz Yisrael, he added these few words in that Pasuk as well. If you look in Pasuk Ches, in parak Lamed Gimel, when Esav met up with Yaakov, Milcha kol machan hazeh asher pagashti, this is referring to the people who sent the mincha. So it says that there too, did he actually receive those individuals who brought the mincha, the gift? So the Ramban says the following, the Pasuk Ches, Hine abdi Yaakov asu kashatziva osam, v'lo ratzu l'kado mehem. The servants of Yaakov did what Yaakov told him to do, and Esav did not want to receive them. He didn't. Oh, shehu begavaso ve'evraso lo dibra imrahem lo sha'olam l'mi'atav anaseilech. So those words, those couple of lines starting there, he's adding, because that's consistent with the other idea that Esav begavaso ve'evraso, Esav was still filled with his rage and his pent-up rage. That corresponds to what the Ramban also mentioned earlier, the v'gam ha'olich l'krascha, that Esav had a tremendous feeling of hostility. Within that pshat, you see, within that pshat, the second pshat that the Ramban added, he continues along back in the earlier Ramban, in Pasuk Ches, and he says, so what exactly took place later on? He says, Chazal apparently understood that way as well, that Esav was upset and angry, still angry. He says, Besof, when he saw the great kavod that Yaakov did for him and how Yaakov was machnia himself so much, Nichmu Rachamav, and he realized his heart melted, and his nachim bazek yalavavos Hashem he malchosher yachbot yata osam. According to the other pshat, it's not so clear that it had to be viewed as this incredible miracle of a change of heart. Yaakov was afraid. Kadosh Baruch Hu ended up making sure that a happy ending. Maybe the fear was unfounded. Maybe it was not unfounded. According to this pshat, there's no doubt that there was a real transformation that occurred. That's why the Ramban mentions all of this within his Hosafa. Now that Ramban is explaining that Esav had no good intentions and it was clear from the start that way, then he has to explain that there was a real transformation that occurred later on. So I want to just point all this out because it just helps to appreciate what Ramban is doing when he adds that thing, Vanir Be'enai. This is a second pshat, and it impacts on how to touch the word vegam, and therefore it's important for the Ramban to explain what occurred later on as a result of the pshat that he's suggesting over here. Okay, let's talk about, yes, please. This is a pirush called Beis Hayayin, Rabbi Yehuda Meir Devir. He wrote a sefer that you've seen on Shas, many different mesechtes, called Beis Lechem Yehuda. It's very nice. He brings the raid, a lot of the raid on the Yeshivish Mesechtes. He brings it and explains it very nicely. And he wrote a pirush on the Ramban with annotated notes on the bottom, and it's called Beis Hayayin. It's an excellent Madura. It's a very nice Mavo in the beginning of the first Chelek as well. Kedai to look at. It's expensive, but if you really want to have a real handle on Ramban, it would definitely be worth your while. The Shavel edition does not indicate in any way what the Hosafos are. He does with an asterisk. It's based on an article that was appeared in Hamayan, publication with Hamayan, a periodical, I forget the year, where Rav Kalman Kahana wrote a list of all those places. Look, there's a lot you can say about critiquing this edition, that edition. There's an individual who also wrote a pirush on the Ramban that he had a lot of tainus against Shavel as well for certain things. Some of them are maybe legitimate, some maybe more like nitpicking a little bit. Good. The truth is that it was a tremendous contribution in terms of making the Ramban available to understand where the melitzas are coming from and the citations. But then again, no edition is perfect, no enterprise is perfect. We could talk about this on other occasion. But Lemaisa, one of the drawbacks is the fact that he does not indicate what came at a different point, what the Ramban added, and a lot of times it helps to understand that. Even though the Ramban wanted it to be brought into the Perush and woven in, but clearly, he was coming on another level to offer another pshat. Lemaisa, the case I gave, the case in point, the case about Kevah Rachel, the Ramban writes in Parshas Vayechi, based on the original understanding he had that Kevah Rachel is located near Ramah, and then here you have what he adds over here in Parshas Vayishlach. Later on, he says, the Lashon of the Ramban is, now that I came to Eretz Yisrael, and now I see where it is. So now I see that Rashi is correct in the Pshat of Kivas Eretz. Zeh kasavti tchila, this is in Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Tes Zayin. Zeh kasavti tchila. Achshav shezachisi ubasi liyushalayim shevach lokel atova ameti v'isi be'enai she'en mikfus rachel ubeis lechem afil mil echad v'hinei hukchash apirush hazeh v'gam divin menachem. The problem is that pirush that he just rejected appears in Parshas Vayechi. The answer is Parshas Vayechi was what he had completed before he went to Eretz Yisrael, and this is one of those things that he added when he got to Eretz Yisrael, and he says zekasavti tchila. So clearly he put finishing touches on the Pirush in Eretz Yisrael, and he sent out manuscripts of that, and there are many, many, many of these examples. It helps to know that. In a Shavel edition, you would never know it. Okay, I'll cope on him. That's an interesting point. I'd like to talk about another interesting idea related to the Yesodos we've been developing the last couple of weeks about the haftachos that were given on Eretz Yisrael to the Avos. Now remember, it all starts with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the first one to receive explicit promises of Eretz Canaan by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We noticed in Parshas Lech Lecha there are four distinct points that Hashem promises the land to Avram Avinu. And remember, the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha and the Pasuk there by Bispin Absarim explains what the significance of each of these promises was. The first time is toward the beginning of Lech Lecha, soon after Avram Avinu arrives in the land, and Hashem appears to him and says, "Lizarecha etinis arts azos." That's the first indication. Says the Ramban, that Haftacha was very ambiguous. Doesn't say how much land is being given. One could be led to assume that all that Hashem was giving him was the area that he had thus far traversed. He walked ad mekom Shechem, ad elon Moreh. So Hashem says, that is the land I've given you, a very small geographic area. The next Haftacha came a little later on in Parshas Lech Lecha, after Lot separates. Hashem appears to Avram and says, look up in all directions. What is added over there? Says the Rabban, a couple of things. First of all, much more of expansive amount of land. Every direction that you can see, meaning all directions, not just a small narrow area, but the entire area of Eretz Yisrael in all the directions. A second thing the Ramban points out is ad olam. Hashem is not saying, I'm giving it to you, it's your children, up to a certain point for a certain amount of time. It's a gift that you'll be able to have and enjoy for eternity. That's ad olam. And then also when it mentions that his children will be kafar ha'aretz, which is also mentioned the second time. The third, the other thing that's mentioned over there, might as well review from last week, it also says over there, kum yisalach ba'aretz arka l'rachba. So what is the meaning of that pasuk? Does that connect to the promise of Eretz Yisrael? The Rabban has two pshat. One pshat is that kum yisalach ba'aretz is a mitzvah for Avraham Avinu to begin, so to speak, the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. This is connected to the idea of Maisa of a Simon Lebanim. Avraham Avinu walking in the land as part of that mitzvah was a beginning of the conquest. Through Avraham Avinu's walking in the land, it became easier for us to conquer it, for Yeshua to conquer it later on. This is one pshat. He was mekayim the mitzvah in his lifetime. Kum yisalach ba'aretz. The other pshat the Ramban suggests that we developed last week is that kum yisalach ba'aretz is a rishus. It's a way of Hashem giving a personal assurance to Avraham Avinu, you have nothing to fear. Walk as you please. Make yourself at home here. Nobody's going to bother you. To the contrary, they're going to revere you. You're going to be a celebrity. And kilchat nena, you'll feel at home. And therefore, Avraham Avinu, you have my word that you will be a nasi elokim in this land. So it's very much on a personal level to Avraham Avinu, not connected to what was mentioned in the earlier psukim, that Hashem is promising the land to his children. The third haftacha to Avraham Avinu is the bris ben apsarim. Avraham Avinu asks b'mayda ki rashena, Hashem makes a bris, and Hashem delineates more specific boundaries. Number one, Hashem says, from here until here, min ha-mitzrayim, ha-nohar pras. Hashem enumerates 10 nations that are to be included in the gift. And finally, what's significant about bris ben apsarim, we developed this idea also at length in the earlier shiurim, is that it was a guarantee that nothing will alter the possibility of getting the land. What specifically was Avraham afraid of? Yigram hachet, either he or his children would sin and all bets would be off. The gift would be conditional that you'd be worthy of inheriting the land. Another fear that Avraham Avinu had is that what will be if the nations in Eretz Yisrael would do tshuva and Hashem would decide, therefore, all bets are off because they did tshuva. They can keep the land. You won't get the land. Hashem makes a bris, a shvuah, that says that it's not conditional. Even if they do tshuva, that will be a cheshbon I'll have with them. They won't be obliterated, but you will still get the land. If you are chote, your children are chote, nonetheless, they will be zochet to get Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about the significance of that and what that means. The idea is that this is growth potential. Kadosh Baruch Hu understands, even though the door that went in did not have the schus, that was a psukim in the Ekev that we developed, but nevertheless, Hashem invests, so to speak, in Klal Yisrael, knowing what they have, what they're capable of. He's promising the land because he knows that they'll be worthy of the land at some point, and therefore he gives it to them, Doravi Yashuvuhena. Very significant piece of the Haftacha of Eretz Yisrael. The fourth time in Lech Lecha is where? By the Bris Milah. When Hashem says, in context, in connection to Bris Milah, Nasati Lecha Zacharecha, Eskoretz Megurecha, what was added over there, says Ramban? Two things. Point number one, La'achuzas Olam. What is La'achuzas Olam? Even if you will be driven out of the land, because The promise only means that you'll be zocha to get land, not that you'll be able to stay there necessarily. You have to get, if you don't live up to standards, you'll be driven into galus. So now, is that the end of the promise? The promise is only you get there, and if you get driven out, you get driven out. The answer is that you'll be able to go back. That's Lachuzas Olam. Now, question one can ask, what do you mean? What do you need that promise? He already had Ad Olam in the second Haftacha. It says Zarecha Ad Olam. That's what Ramban points out. That was significant about the second Haftacha. So what is the difference between Ad Olam, which was what Hashem said the second time, and Lachuzas Olam, which was the fourth time? What's the answer? No, anyone? Seems to be obvious to me. What's the difference? Ad Olam means that Hashem is saying, I'm promising it to you, not just for a particular designated period of time, but long term. Long term means indefinitely. But that means when you go in to begin with, before you get driven out. So it's not that Hashem is giving the land for X number of years. The gift, the bequeathing Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael when they go in, is not for X number of years. It means indefinitely. What happens if they do chatoyim? So that's also built in. In other words, that as a result of the chatoyim, they'll be bounced out of Eretz Yisrael. They'll be driven out. The point about olam is that if they won't do chatoyim, the promise is ad olam, not for X number of years. If everyone behaves himself, it's ad olam. But if there'll be a point that they'll be driven out, so that itself is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated they'll be driven out. But now, what about coming back now, after they've been driven? That's what Achuzas Olam is. That's what I believe is the difference between Ad Olam and Achuzas Olam. The second point that's significant by the fourth Haftacha is Vayisei Lahem Lelokim, which is Ramban's vision of how Eretz Yisrael represents the direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Hashpah being through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mile of Eretz Yisrael developed in many places in the Ramban and Chumash. That is the fourth Haftacha to Avraham Avinu. Then we get to Yitzchak. Yitzchak is told, the Parsha told us, Kilcho Zarachatin Orso Sael, Vakimosi Sashvua Shinishbati Ravam Vicha, and it says further, in Satri Zarachatin Orso Sael. So Hashem tells Yitzchak that I'm going to establish the Shvua with you that I promised Avram, and it says I'm going to give you these lands. So we have the Haftacha to Yitzchak. The Ramban explained to Pshatim what it means. One of the Pshatim is that Hashem is Nishbat to Yitzchak, even though he already promised Avram Avinu the land, and that would have been enough. But there's a special tzchus, the kavod, for each of the avos to have that special gift of the promise of Eretz Yisrael. Now, by virtue of Yitzchak's Haftacha, we understand already that Yishmael is weeded out. Yishmael is not part of that bris. And that was already clear from Parshas Lech Lecha, when Hashem promises Avram that Sarah is going to have a son. It says already there, Vakimosi esprisi ito v'salam zawach harav, that the bris will be through Yitzchak. Furthermore, it says in Parshas Vayera, when Avram is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Sarah is correct, that we have to drive Yishmael out of the house, do not feel bad about this, listen to Sarah, ki v'yitzchak yikarel chazara. So the Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk is, Yitzchak is your future, Yishmael is not. So we understand from the very get-go, Yitzchak's birth was meant to be the continuation of Avram. Yishmael had his own legacy, a parallel legacy. He also had Shnei Masa Nesiyim Yolid. We have Shnei Masa Shvatim. He had Shnei Masa Nesiyim. But it wasn't the legacy that was Avram Avinu's legacy for the Bris of Eretz Yisrael. It was never really Shaykh for Yishmael. Ki b'Yitzchak kara chazar. What about Yaakov versus Esav? This is not as clear cut. Yitzchak is given the promise that was given to Avraham Avinu, Vakimosi Sashvur. Where does Yaakov fit in now? What is the process by which Yaakov is zoche to Eretz Yisrael to continue the legacy of Avraham and Yitzchak? This is what we're going to begin to talk about today for the rest of the time, and I think probably into next week. What is that process of Yaakov Avinu Zechia and Eretz Yisrael as a continuity of the bris with Avram and Yitzchak? Esav is a Zera Avram or not? Esav is Zera Yitzchak or not? Ki bi Yitzchak ikara chazara. So, Esav is the son of Yitzchak. What was it that determined that Esav would not be the one to continue that legacy? What were the factors, and what are the indications of those factors? So we'll try to sort this out. There's a lot of ambiguity here, even though we like to quote sometimes selectively here or there, but the bigger picture is, you know, is more complex. Let's start with you have your sheet, so we'll go with the order of the sheets a little bit. You have a Mishnah Nedarim that says the following. Somebody takes a neder, shvua neder, any neder lezera avram. Aser b'Yisrael mutar b'mikol chavim. So someone who asers to get hanah from zera avram is allowed to get hanah from anyone that's not in Klal Yisrael, even though the nusach of his neder was zera avram. In fact, the Gemara, what do you mean? Vayikra Yishmael. Yishmael is Obed Kochavim, but seemingly that's Zera Avram. Says Gemara, no, he's not Zera Avram. Ki b'Yitzchak kara chazara. So it's Yitzchak, not Yishmael. So Zera Avram doesn't include Yishmael. What about Esav? Vayikra Esav. Says the Gemara, b'Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. The pasuk says b'Yitzchak. That pasuk in Parshas Vayera, right before this on the sheet. B'Yitzchak means that the very promise of the continuity that Avram is told will be Yikar L'Chazara, which entails everything that the Bris and the Shvuah and the Avtachos were given to Avram Avinu, all of that is not the entirety of Yitzchak, it's Big Yitzchak. And therefore, that means Yaakov and not Esav. So Esav is excluded because the very promise was selective, Big Yitzchak. So it sounds like the B'Yitzchak, that's what indicates that Esav is not considered Zera Avram. B'Yitzchak, that's only part of Yitzchak. Now, the problem is this. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim that the mitzvah of Milah is Avram v'Zaro Bilvad, which comes to Atav Zaracha Acharecha, excludes Yishmael, because Yitzchakar Chazara, that's why Yishmael is excluded. Why is Esav excluded? The Yatzah Esav, Shaharei Yitzchak Amar LeYaakov Yitoncha Es Birkas Avram Mechol Zarecha Itach. At the end of Pashas told us. Fine. Okay, so it says at the end of Pashas told us the Yitzchak tells Yaakov Yitoncha Es Birkas Avram Mechol Zarecha Mechlau Shehu Levado Zarech Shel Avram Hamachzik B'Dasa U'B'Darko Yishara. So from here we see that only Yaakov is Zera Avram because he's machzik b'daso b'darko hayishara. The obvious question is, what is the Rambam doing? Giving you a new makar that Esav is excluded? The makar given in the Gemara is b'Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. So that's how we know that Esav is excluded. The Rambam says that Yishmo is excluded because of that pasuk. Ki b'Yitzchak chazara. Esav is excluded because of the pasuk Vitochas Birkas Avram. The Rambam should have quoted the same pasuk B'Yitzchak V'lo Kol Yitzchak. So Rav Chaim, this is quoted in the Biskei Rav and Chumash. This Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim explained the Rambam as follows: B'Yitzchak V'lo Kol Yitzchak doesn't exclude Esav explicitly. Yishmael is explicit. B'Yitzchak, that means not Yishmael. But vis-a-vis Yaakov and Esav, the pasuk is just saying they'll be part of Yitzchak. But which part of Yitzchak? Yitzchak had two sons. So therefore, it's not enough to rely on B'Yitzchak or Yitzchak, because that does not explicitly exclude Esav. Comes the Rambam and says, what's Megala to us? How do we know the pshat in B'Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak? How do we know what part of Yitzchak it is? That's the pasuk at the end of Parshas Toldos. Because when you see Yitzchak tells Yaakov that you are going to be given the Birkas Avram, L'chol Yizarecha Itach Gvishtach Azeretz Megurecha. So now we understand that the Bi Yitzchak, the Lo Kol Yitzchak, that means Yaakov vis-a-vis Esav. Ad kan divrei Rav Chaim. Now, the Brisk of Rav takes it a step further. And he says like this. Based on Rav Chaim, he says that really, that means, it's not just a gilui, ki'ilu, now I know pshat in the pasuk, the Yitzchak. How do I know how to read the pasuk? You see what happened. Yitzchak says to Yaakov, Yitzchak Brisk of Rav. The Brisk of Rav says it like this. Until that moment in time, that Yitzchak conferred on Yaakov the quote-unquote Birkas Avram, which said Hashem will give you the Birkas Avram at the end of Todos when he sent him out. Until that moment, Haya Hadavar Toli Va'omed, says the Mishkar Rav, Miyah Nechshev Zer Avram. It's up for grabs. Be Yitzchak means the possibility exists for one or the other. Now, B'shas the Brachos, Huchra Hadavar, that Yaakov was the chosen son, and this is the key of the fulfillment of the B'Yitzchak through Yaakov and not through Esav. And that's Gufo what the Meduig and the Lashon Aram that Rav Chaim came to explain. The Rambam says that Mechlau Shehu Levado Zara Shel Avram Hamachzik B'Daso B'Darka Yishara Vehem HaMechuyavim B'Mila. That means that it's dependent on the fact that he's Machzik B'Daso B'Darka HaYishara. The fact that Yaakov was the one who was holding on to the legacy of Yitzchak and of Avram, that's why he earned the privilege of being the one to continue that legacy, because he was the one that was following in that path. So it was this defining moment that established how the B'Yitzchak Lokoyitz was to be played out. That's how the Brisk of Rav takes it. And he explains that's the whole context of this whole parsha at the end of Todos. Because what is the point that Yitzchak is saying it? He's saying to Yaakov at the time that he's sending him to find a wife. And he says, do not take a wife from Binos Kenan. That means that it's as a result of this status that Yaakov is now attaining to be the fulfillment of the Yitzchak, that he is now being given the instructions, given that you are the continuity, therefore you be careful not to marry Binos Kenan. And that's what it says further, V'yitelcha V'yisa l'kal amim, says the Brisk of Rav. That means, as the Targum Unkel says, kinshas shiftin, that you're going to have shvatim, and they're all going to be considered part of Klal Yisrael. You're going to have shvatim, that's a function of the same status that's being conferred on Yaakov at this moment. That you are the continuity, you are the B'yitzchak, therefore your children will all be shvatim. V'yitelcha z'birkas Avram, l'vishchas erch migurecha, that is why you're going to get Eretz Yisrael. All of this is happening at this moment in time. Ad kan the Mahalach of the Brisk of Rav based on Rav Chaim. Yes. B'nei Keturah. B'nei Keturah. That's different. B'nei Keturah. That's a different inyan. That's a different topic. That's a specific inyan of Mila. It's specific to Mitzvah's Mila. That's a chiddush of the Rambam. That's correct. Right. B'nei Yishmael are not. B'nei Keturah are. Right.
And according to those that understood that the fact that Yitzchak sent Yaakov to marry wise son, that was a revealing, it's agreed with Rip all along.
Well, that's clear, right? I want to talk about what was before, right? We have to go before and we have to go after. Let's see, right now I'm presenting the Rav Chaim. You be Rav Chaim, Klal Gadol. Everything sounds perfect, right? It's so perfect like a glove. And you're literally on cloud nine, beautiful Rav Chaim to say over. The problem is that sometimes there are details that are kind of overlooked or ignored or played down, and then it makes the picture more complex. We're going to try to make things a little less comfortable for everybody, right? Starting now. That the Rav Chaim basically says this is the defining moment right here when Yitzchak is giving the bracha. And the Brisk of Rav says it ties in beautifully with why now he's giving the tzivoy to marry only from Binos, not from Binos Kenan, but to go to Lava. And that's why he's told to have shvatim and so on. Now, let's even grant this for a minute. This is definitely a defining moment. We have to see. Maybe it's true for the Rambam, maybe not for the Ramban. Maybe it's not true for everybody. This is the Mahalach that the Rav Chaim is developing for the Rambam. The truth is, it is Meduik and another Rambam. There is another Rambam. You can take a look at this Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. In the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam talks about Avraham Avinu finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how he created a nation which was serving Hashem with a vision of one God and so on. And then the Rambam continues about Avraham taught Yitzchak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all of that came with it. He says, the Hodiyo Yitzchak Beno. He told Yitzchak all about what he had to impart to Yitzchak. Then it says further in the Rambam there, V'Yitzchak Hodiya L'Yakov U'Minahu L'Lamed. Interesting expression, Minahu. He appointed him L'Lamed. The diuk is obvious. When it comes to Avram teaching Yitzchak, it just says Hodiyo. It doesn't say the Lashon Minahu. When it comes to Yitzchak teaching Yaakov, the Rambam adds Minahu L'Lamed. Why? Because Minahu means you need a formal appointment. Yitzchak did not have to be formally appointed. It was already clear from the outset that Yitzchak was to be the continuity for Avram. So therefore, there was no need for a formal minui. When it comes to Yaakov and Esav, there was this Bi Yitzchak, Lo Kol Yitzchak. So therefore, it was Minahu. It wasn't just Modia Le Yaakov, it was Minahu. Mm-hmm. According to the Briska Rav Pshat in this Rambam, it's very meduik in the lesson of the Pasuk. Vayitzavehu vayomer lo, lo sikach isha. What does vayitzavehu mean? He instructed him. Pasha Pshat, he instructs him with the particular prohibition not to take here, but to take from Lava, not to take a wife from Canaan. That's vayitzavehu, a mitzvah, a commandment. But the word vayitzavehu has another connotation in Tanakh. Vayitzavehu can also mean an appointment. We find this by Yoshua a couple of times, by Yitzavehu, by Yismach es yada v'la v'yitzavehu, it's an appointment. By Yitzavim el b'nei Yisrael, it says in Pashas Va'era, it's an appointment. That's what the Rambam is alluding to. Minahu, according to this Rambam, it goes very well with the other Rambam. Minahu l'lameh, that's the by Yitzavehu, that's what he said to him now, that v'itachos b'kas Avram, you are the continuity. Okay, now let's try to broaden the scope of this issue. Is this really the defining moment? Are there no other defining moments? Before this? After this? So let's try first from before. Were there no other defining moments before this end of Pashas Toldos that you could say Esav lost it at that point? Esav forfeited his schus to be Zera Avram at that point? Let's go to the beginning of Pashas Toldos. What comes to mind? Selling the Bechorah. Esav says, Hinei Anochi Lech Lamus, V'lam Azri Bechorah. The Bechorah is the one would naturally continue in that path, the successor. Esav says, I don't want to be Bechorah, I'm giving it to you. So right there, you can argue that in that Mechira, however we explain the Mechira of the Bechorah, but that was Esav opting out. And certainly Midrashim point in that direction, and the Beis Halevi in Parshas Toldos works with these Midrashim and explains in his own beautiful way there that what Esav was doing was saying, I don't want any part of being Zera Avram. And why was this moment the moment that Esav decided that? Because Chazal say that the point that Esav came back from the field that day was the day that Avram Avinu passed away. Avram Avinu was Nifter. The nazid that Yaakov cooked was the havra for the suda for Avraham Avinu's patira, and since Avraham Avinu died, so now the thing that was coming to the fore was the gzeira of bris ben absarim, ki geyia zaracha. Now Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, you are not going to be bechlal that gzeira. Ata tava v'sach b'tikavim v'seva tova. You will have you'll be buried without having to be worried about any type of golus, any type of tsara. So it's only at this point that the whole possibility of the golus that Hashem had decreed to Avraham Avinu can now come to pass. Everyone knew that. Esav was aware of that. And because Esav was aware of that, he did not want to be subjected for the possibility of having to pay that price of being a ger be'eretz golahem. And therefore, Esav made a point of saying, I want no part in this. Chazal say that he was kofa be'ikir. He did five averis that day, but then he says, hineinu achu lech lamus, meaning there's no afterlife. They put it all on Esav at this point in time. Esav is saying, I don't want to be part of this worldview, of this whole legacy. So this is what the Beis HaLevi says in Parshas Toldos. At that point, it was determined that Esav is not shaykh to be called Zera Avram, and the Bi Yitzchak, v'lo ko Yitzchak, is going to play out in terms of Yaakov, not in terms of Esav. So we have already the point in the beginning of Toldos. Now, let's try to identify another point along the way, before the end of Toldos. What other point can you identify? The brachas that Yitzchak gave, thinking it was Esav, but giving it to Yaakov. What were the implications of those brachas? There's a big machlokus about this. But we spoke at the Ramban. The Ramban says that what Yitzchak had in mind when he wanted to give the bracha to Esav, the Ramban says, you have this on your sheets. The Ramban says that Yitzchak's intention was levarich oso sheyizkehu bebirkas Avram linchol es haaretz v'liyoshu bal habris lelokim ki hu habachor. So Yitzchak's agenda was nothing short of granting Esav that privilege of being the Baal HaBris Le'elokim. Baal HaBris means exactly what Avram was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Yitzchak was. That would be Esav's legacy. He'd be the Baal HaBris. He's the Bechor. Lincho Es HaAretz. That was what was at stake with the bracha V'yitin Lecha. V'yitin Lecha HaElokim is the special gift of Eretz Yisrael. Rabban explains that further. Matas Elokim Tamid Engel Hefsek Yolam Kol Yamechal Ad Masecha Mishmanei HaAretz. Eretz Yisrael is the most fat, luscious, fertile of all lands. Tzvihu L'chol HaAretzos. When he said to Esav later, Mishmanei Eretz Yemoshavecha, he says, when you're there, you'll have it good. But meanwhile, it's not going to be yours forever. You might have a certain time when you'll be there, but really, it came out that Esau's fulfillment later on, what happened at the end of the parasha, when Yitzchak says further, Bito his Biras Avram, what is he saying to Yaakov? That your drove Dagon v'Sirosh will be in Eretz Canaan, and Esau's Mishmanei HaAretz will be in Eretz Acheres. So between the brachos of Yitan Lecha and fleshed out later on, at the end of the parasha, the Ramban is learning that Yaakov was the one to get Eretz Yisrael. This would have been Yitzchak's intention to give it to Esav. Interesting is that the Ramban says, why do you want to give it to Esav? Because he was a Bechor. Who really was a Bechor after the sale was Yaakov? So it could be that the very cheshbon of Yitzchak would also dictate that it should go to Yaakov. Again, we could see that the defining moment may not have been necessarily the end of Toldos. It could have been earlier. It could have been Esav could have been already excluded from the fact that he sold the Bechorah. Yaakov could have already been part of the process of being included by getting the bracha of Yiten Lecha, which is even before the end of Parshas Toldos when he says explicitly, Birkas Avram. That's in terms of the before. Let's move ahead now. Is it so simple that the chapter is closed? End of Parshas Toldos, it's already been defined. Yitzchak is Yaakov and not Esav. Has Yaakov heard yet from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the matter? He's heard from Yitzchak. Where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu weighing in on this? We have not yet found a point that Hashem has spoken to Yaakov Avinu and said anything about his future and his being chosen. But that comes soon afterwards. Parshas Vayetze, the dream of the ladder. Yaakov Avinu has HaKadosh Baruch Hu reassuring him. And part of the reassurance, go back to your sheets, you see it, right after the Rambam, Hashem says to Yaakov Avinu, Hineinochi imach u'shmartich b'chor she'telech. I will guard you wherever you go, v'ashivosicha l'adam azos, because I will not abandon you, ad asher im asisi eis asher dibarti loch. What does it mean? I will not abandon you until I will carry out all that I have spoken, lach. How do you translate dibarti lach? Spoken to you? So Rashi has an interesting interpretation. Rashi says dibarti lach doesn't mean to you because you don't find, says Rashi, the lashon of lach in connection to dibur. You have it by Omar. Omar lo. Diber elav. By Daber Hashem el Moshe leimor, not le Moshe. So generally speaking, lach would not fit with dibarti. So therefore Rashi learns dibarti lach doesn't mean to you, it means about you. Says Rashi, an amazing pshat in the pasuk. Meaning, I will fulfill with you that which dibarti lach about you on your behalf. Mashif tachti l'Avram al zaro, that which I promised Avram that his children, his progeny, l'chayv tachtiv, it's about you. V'lo le'esav. Shelo amarti ki yitzchak karech hazar, which would include Esav. Elo ki bi yitzchak, v'lo kol yitzchak. That's the meaning of li'v'lach. And it has to be that way, says Rashi, because we never find Hashem having spoken to Yaakov before. This is the first time Hashem is speaking to Yaakov. How can it be dibarti lach that I spoke to you? Hashem has not spoken yet to Yaakov. It's the first time. Dibarti lach means speaking about you. Meaning, I'm going to fulfill in you that which I spoke about you, meaning the Bi Yitzchak is you and not Esav. So now, according to this Rashi, we have another defining moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu validates for Yaakov that he is the Bi Yitzchak, below Ko Yitzchak. But I see something very interesting in this Rashi, and that's the following Chakira that one can pose. Bi Yitzchak, below Ko Yitzchak. So we know it means Yaakov, and not Esav, and that gets determined at whatever point it gets determined. What's the pshat? Does it mean that it shows us that from the very beginning, Igloi Milsa L'mafreya, that the Bi Yitzchak meant Yaakov and not Esav? We just have to find out. When do we find out? We find out at whatever point. Or is the pshat that it basically remains undefined until the pivotal moment when it gets defined, mikano lahava, not lemafreya, not igoy milso mafreya. It's the point that it gets determined is when it gets determined. Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu left it open, and it will get determined at the point that it gets determined, and from that point hence is when it will be through that son of Yitzchak, which is the pshat. From the Briska Rav, the way it seems in the language of the Briska Rav, until that point, it was talui va'omed. It was an open question. Bi Yitzchak, to be resolved, at whatever point it be resolved, and that became the point that it was chal mikano lahaba, that would be Yaakov. Through the fact that Yitzchak said to Yaakov at that point, that became the fulfillment of the Bi Yitzchak. Until that point, it was open. The other way to look at it, it wasn't open. It's just that we don't know. We don't know which it was. From the Rashi, what does it sound like to you? From the Lashon of Rashi. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yaakov, not that I'm hereby telling you that you are the Bi Yitzchak. Hashem is saying, that which I spoke, Bi Yitzchak, I want you to know, you didn't know this, Yaakov. I want you to know it's you. Meaning to say that this was always what was the Pshat of Bi Yitzchak. It's just that it's a way of revealing that this was the pshat in the original kavana of the Bi Yitzchak Volko Yitzchak. Now there is a middle ground. I don't know if they use this in Yeshiva Shrei a little bit. There's Lumafreya, there's Mikana Lahava, and yet there's another formulation. Has anyone heard about it? Mikana Lahava Lumafreya. What does that mean exactly? I don't know what it means exactly. Literally, it means that Mikana Lahava, we view it as if it was Lumafreya. Before Mikano Lahava, before that juncture, it was not clear. But Mikano Lahava, it's viewed as Lemafreya. I don't know exactly what that means, but I'll give you a possible paradigm for this. The Inyan of Breira. Okay, you know the sugya of Breira, Yesh Breira, Ein Breira. So let's say, first one's from the Garish Chveis, the one that's going to walk in Mipesach Tchila. So he wants to set up a chalos right now, that the chalos should be the one that's going to come through the door first. Now, so one of the wives goes through the door first, right? So he's being megarish now, but we don't know who's being megarish. We don't know who the chalos is taking effect on. But when that issue gets clarified, it's not that the gerishin takes place at that point. The chalos goes back, but the chalos is unspecified. But the fulfillment of the specification clarifies, goes back into the original halos as it was done. Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Be Yitzchak. Which one? The one that's going to be machzik b'daso and follow in the path of Avraham Avinu. No, so that was what was said at the time, and that was in fact the clear kavanah. But you just have to have it play out in order that it should ultimately fit back into the original words of Be Yitzchak, Boko Yitzchak. We have a shaila yesh brera im brera, but by Kadosh Baruch Hu there's no tasha. Whatever the chesaron of the im brera is, by Kadosh Baruch Hu it's not a chesaron of the im brera. So therefore, that's another way to think about this Be Yitzchak, Boko Yitzchak. One way is to say it's a goy milsa l'mafreya, meaning to say that we don't know, but it was always clear from the beginning, just that we don't know, and Hashem tells Yaakov Avinu, it's you. Another way is to say the other extreme is that it's simply mikano l'ahava. It was specifically designed to be an open issue. Anyone has a chance at it. Esav had an equal chance, Yaakov an equal chance. And at a certain point, it was locked in. The other possibility was suggesting this mikano l'ahava mafreya malo, maybe along the lines of Breira, is that the specific promise was based on certain conditions. Those conditions are going to be following in the path of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu, and basically Yaakov, who ended up fulfilling those conditions, so he was therefore included from the very beginning, because that was the whole pshat in the Be Yitzchak, based on the one who's machzik b'dasa. All right, but now the question is, so is it all locked in right now? Yaakov Avinu is now on his way to house of Lavan. He's already heard from Yitzchak, Birkas Avram is you. He's heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, going to Rashi, Asher Dibarti Lach, it's all you. So what more is there? So there's at least two more levels that we have to discuss. Let me mention one now, and then we'll have to probably pick up next week with the next one. The Pasuk says further in Parshas, in Vayishlach, actually, our Parsha, the es ha'aretz asher nasati la'avam yitzchak nena uzarach la'adolam achzach erachatenus ha'aretz. Hashem promises to Yaakov again Eretz Yisrael. Hashem already promised to Yaakov Avinu beginning of Vayetse ha'aretz asher toshach l'chot nena uzarach, I'm giving you the land. And yet Hashem repeats it again. So what exactly is happening there? Hashem gives him the land when he comes back to Beisel after 22 years. He's told again, I'm giving you the land. So this is the famous Ramban that understands this pasuk as referring to a shvua. Where was Hashem nishba to Yaakov? Hashem was nishba to Avram, we saw Bispin Absarim. Hashem was nishba to Yitzchak, that's in Parshas Toldos, Vakimosi is a shvua. Where's the shvua to Yaakov? The beginning of Parshas Vayetze is not a shvua, it's Avtacha. Where's the shvua? Shvua means that you stand as a separate mile and a schus, it's you stand by your children, that's over here. So clearly there's a milestone going on here. Hashem is nishba to Yaakov. The Ramban in Parshas Toldos, you'll take a look in the other sheet with the Ramban, the Ramban alludes to the fact that Yaakov needed to be told that he is going to have the promise because of there was an Esav here. So the Ramban, when he asked the question, why Yitzchak have to be told the Shavua? After all, who else? It was clearly going to be Yitzchak. So he says, by Yaakov, I have no kasha. Ki bi Yaakov, hu tzvach m'pnei Esav achiv. Loma, shebo yiskayim habris ubezar lo be'esav. But Yaakov, Hashem had to tell him that with you and not with Esav, because it could have been Esav. What is the Ramban referring to? Hu tzvach. Which hu tzvach is the Ramban referring to there? The hu tzvach in the beginning of Vayetze, when Hashem says to Yaakov, I'm going to guard you and protect you, I'm giving you the land. Or does he mean Parshas Vayishlach? When Hashem says again, I'm going to give you the land, and it's a shvua. I would think that the Ramban is referring to the first time. The first time is when Hashem already says to him, you are going to get the land. But why does Hashem have to tell it to him? Because it could have been Esav. What is the second time? The second time is a shvua to Yaakov. That means that you are the Baal Bris. Okay, so having said all of this, is it locked in? Or is there one other very important pivotal moment in history that defines Yaakov as the bearer of the legacy and excludes Esav? Until now, we've spoken about selling the Bechorah. We've spoken about getting the bracha of Yitan Lecha. We've spoken about getting the second time the bracha at the end of Toldos, that Yitzchak sends him away and says, you are the one to find a wife from Lavan, and Yitoch is because of Avraham. We've defined Yaakov being told by Hashem in the beginning of Ayetze, that Esa Shedibar Tilach. We've defined Yaakov getting the bracha when he comes back to Beisel. Is that it? Or is there another defining moment? Stay tuned to Me'ez Hashem for the next year. We'll see about it. Okay. Good Shabbos, everybody. Thank you.